From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. A new firestorm has broken out over President Trump's Monday meeting in Helsinki with Russia's Vladimir Putin. On Wednesday, Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said the White House was considering an offer from Putin to help with the Mueller investigation, and in exchange would get the chance to interrogate some Americans, including former U.S. Ambassador to Russia, Michael McFaul. At the Monday press conference, this is President Trump referring to Putin's offer.
And what he did is an incredible offer. He offered to have the people working on the case come and work with their investigators with respect to the 12 people. I think that's an incredible offer.
On Wednesday, this is how Press Secretary Sanders responded to a reporter asking if Trump would hand over Americans to Russia for interrogation.
Thank you, Sarah. Russian authorities yesterday named several Americans who they want to question, who they claim were involved in quote-unquote crimes in their terms, including a former ambassador to Russia, Michael McFaul. Does President Trump support that idea? Is he open to having U.S. officials questioned by Russia?
The president's going to meet with his team, and we'll let you know when we have an announcement on that.
For a second, is that a topic that came up in their conversation? Did President Putin raise this with President Trump?
There was some conversation about it, but there wasn't a commitment made on behalf of the United States, and the president will work with his team, and we'll let you know if there's an announcement on that front.
The Washington Post reported that, quote, the willingness of the White House to contemplate handing over a former U.S. ambassador for interrogation by the Kremlin drew ire and astonishment from current and former U.S. officials. Such a proposition is unheard of. So is the notion that the president may think he has the legal authority to turn anyone over to a foreign power on his own. Ambassador McFaul tweeted angrily, "Hey, White House Press Corps, can you confirm tomorrow with Press Secretary that Putin discussed me personally in his one-on-one with Trump? Did he suggest that I was part of some alleged money laundering scheme? And did Trump push back on this completely invented wacko idea?" Meanwhile, in an interview broadcasting on Thursday, Trump was asked by CBS News who he would like to run against in 2020 when he's up for re-election. Trump responded, quote, "I dream about Biden." The former two-term Vice President Joe Biden is among a handful of Democrats posturing for a 2020 run, including former presidential candidate Senator Bernie Sanders and Senators Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris. On Wednesday, the Republican-controlled Senate voted to confirm Andrew Oldham as a lifetime federal judge on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Oldham, who was nominated by Trump, faced criticism from more than 200 civil rights organizations over his record on restricting voting rights and his poor record on discrimination cases. When he asked if he agreed with the 1954 school desegregation case Brown versus Board of Education during his hearing, Oldham shockingly refused to answer. The Leadership Conference on Human and Civil Rights wrote a strongly worded letter to the Senate saying, quote, refusing to say whether this most important of cases, which established so many of the rights that we enjoy today, was properly decided, should completely disqualify a nominee seeking a lifetime appointment to the federal bench. But every single Republican voted to confirm Oldham nonetheless. According to the Huffington Post, Oldham is Trump's 23rd confirmed circuit judge, a massive number for a president only 18 months into his first term. At this point in their presidencies, Barack Obama had 9 of his circuit court nominees confirmed. George W. Bush had 16. Progressive members of Congress are forming a Medicare for All caucus today with 60 members. Vice News first reported the caucus on Wednesday, saying, quote, it's expected to have over 60 founding members, or approximately one-third of all the 193 House Democrats, with more expected to sign on in the coming weeks. More could join following the 2018 midterms, with many Democratic challengers embracing Medicare for All. Washington Representative Pramila Jayapal said, quote, this is a sea change from just 4 or 5 years ago, and people are more likely to see healthcare as a right. The Republican-controlled House on Wednesday introduced a symbolic measure to support the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, agency that has come under fire in recent months. Amid calls to abolish ICE that have taken hold all over the country, the GOP decided instead to pat the agency on the back with its non-binding measure, which passed with most Democrats not voting for it. 18 House Democrats did vote for it, however. After today's headlines, our immigration correspondent Juan Escalante will give us a progress report on the government's reunification of the families it separated. We'll also discuss a devastating report that was filed in court detailing abuses of immigrants in ICE detention since June. A new poll by the Public Religion Research Institute and The Atlantic has found that more than half of all white evangelical Americans oppose the idea of increased racial diversity. According to the poll, 52% of white evangelical Protestants say a majority of the U.S. population being non-white will be a negative development. Among the public at large, the numbers are far more encouraging. About two-thirds of the American population, white and non-white, thinks a non-white majority country is a good thing. The poll also found that 70% of all Republicans think the U.S. is headed in the right direction, while only 8% of Democrats think so. President Trump has strongly endorsed Georgia's Secretary of State Brian Kemp as a candidate for governor. Kemp is a controversial figure who has been accused of being an anti-immigrant racist after he issued an ad saying he wanted to, quote, round up criminal illegals in his pickup truck. On Wednesday, Trump tweeted a full-throated support for Kemp's candidacy, saying, quote, Brian is tough on crime, strong on the border and illegal immigration. He loves our military and our vets and protects our Second Amendment. I give him my full and total endorsement. Kemp is facing Georgia's Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle for the governor position in a runoff primary election next Tuesday. The two candidates are neck and neck as per a recent poll. The winner of the runoff will face Democrat Stacey Abrams in November. A California measure was blocked on Wednesday that would have placed a question on the ballot about splitting the state into three pieces. The state Supreme Court blocked the measure, dubbed Cal 3, which has been backed by a billionaire named Tim Draper. State Supreme Court justices ruled against the measure unanimously, saying in their ruling, quote, we conclude that the potential harm in permitting the measure to remain on the ballot outweighs the potential harm in delaying the proposition to a future election. An environmental group called the Planning and Conservation League cheered the decision and issued a statement saying Cal 3, quote, was a costly, flawed scheme that will waste billions of California taxpayer dollars, create chaos in public services, including safeguarding our environment. In international news, the Organization of American States, or OAS, on Wednesday condemned government violence in Nicaragua in a resolution. Nicaraguan President Daniel Ortega has overseen a mass violation of human rights through a harsh government crackdown on protesters. Nicaragua's Foreign Minister Denis Moncada condemned the OAS resolution, saying it was, quote, illegal, illegitimate, and unfair, and that Ortega's government was only defending itself against, quote, attacks from terrorist groups to overthrow a legitimate government. On the same day as the OAS resolution, 10 senators in the United States introduced a bill that would impose sanctions on Nicaraguan government officials who were responsible for human rights violations. The bipartisan group of lawmakers also called for a diplomatic negotiated end to the crisis there. In Canada, the beating of a 39-year-old Muslim man named Muhammad Abu Marzouk is being investigated as a hate crime. Abu Marzouk was returning home from a local community center in Mississauga with his families when two assailants kicked his car. When he left his car to confront them, he was beaten so badly that he had a serious brain hemorrhage and was rushed into surgery. The men allegedly responsible for the beating are brothers, 27-year-old Adam and 19-year-old Janice Korhamsik. And that does it for today's headlines.